And in this particular text, we are going to look at a teaching that is related to the second coming of the Lord Jesus. And we want to read this with great joy and yet also with real great concern for those who do not know him. So reading from Matthew 25, verse 31, we read, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me.'" Well, this is a glorious word of encouragement from the Lord Jesus to all his disciples concerning those who are considered righteous, those who are going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Well, then we read about the righteous and they reply. "Then the righteous will answer him, saying, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and took you in and take you in, or naked and clothed you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?' And the king will answer and say to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me.'" The last part of it is actually a description on the opposite side of it. And this is a reference to those who are goats, those who don't care for other people, and the Lord had a word of rebuke for them. Well, let's take a look at this very carefully. And we want to understand this text as a description of how the Lord Jesus will judge the nations. Sometimes we think of the Lord Jesus as our Savior, as our teacher, as our Redeemer, as the Lord, as our King, and they're all correct. But sometimes we fail to add that there is one more role that the Lord Jesus has been given and will one day fulfill, and that is as King and as Judge, particularly as the Supreme Judge. Well, we have to think about what it means for us to understand who the Lord Jesus is in his glory. And over here, we are told, the King, the Lord Jesus, is truly full of glory. And when he comes again, he's not going to come as a baby. He's going to come with all his holy angels with him. And he will be seated, literally, on the throne of his glory. And that's something that we need to look at. And we just imagine the scene on the all coming, all nations coming to the presence of the Lord as the King. And on the one hand, the King will wave to his holy angels, and they will set apart those who are on the right, called the sheep, and then on the other side, called the goats, on the left. And then the judgment begins. Now, the judgment begins with a very, very, we've got to understand how this judgment actually works. And the distinction is between the sheep and the goat. This is nothing to, we're not talking about animal husbandry. We're not talking about sheep and goats insofar as the animal kingdom is concerned. Which one is better? They all have their own value. So we're not talking about that. What we are looking at is the fact that the Lord Jesus is going to identify and differentiate and distinguish between the sheep of his pasture, his flock, versus the goats that are not his flock. That's basically what it means, right? So here is the word of blessing. The judgment has a positive aspect, And this positive aspect is the blessing that will be given to those who are considered righteous, those who are the sheep. Now, so the Lord said to the sheep, he calls them blessed of my Father. He went on to further say, they are going to inherit the kingdom that God has prepared for them from the foundation of the world. Now, if you were to take a look at this particular word here, we don't see the word justification, we don't see the word reconciliation, we don't see the word redemption, we don't see any of those things that talk about salvation. Now, it doesn't mean that they are not in focus. This is not a focus, this is not a point here, right? So does the doctrine of justification in Romans still stand? Answer, absolutely. So when we talk about how we are justified by the blood of the Lord Jesus, justified by his grace, and all of these things, are they still valid? Absolutely. So why is the judgment based upon what is done? Is it judgment based upon good works? So if we do enough good works, we go to heaven. If we don't do enough good works, we don't. We'll end up the other side. This is not a judgment that talks about our salvation that will come because of works. This is not a point at all. But the challenge is to understand how it works. If there is indeed true salvation, if there is indeed things which are correct, things which are genuine, the results would be very, very obvious. Actually, we have an important text in the book of Titus chapter 2 that we want to take a look at that will help us to understand how this thing actually works. Let's look at the book of Paul's epistle to Titus, and you'll see this very clearly in chapter 2. Well, let's take a look at this very carefully, right? So in chapter 2, we speak about what it really means for us. So verse 11, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, right? So this is salvation that comes from the grace of God. So what is grace teaching us? What does salvation teach us? One, we must deny ungodliness, worldly lusts. We should live soberly and righteously and godly in this present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from our every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. Now, if we read this particular text of Titus 2, 11 to 14, we'll probably get a better idea of what Matthew 25 is all about. We're talking about salvation that is true, and salvation that is true will cause the believer to live soberly, righteously, godly. That's the first thing. It has to do with our life. Second, it will teach the believer to look forward to the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God, the Lord Jesus Christ, as our Savior. Now, we go on further. The Lord Jesus Christ gave himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed. What did he come to do? And we read, he came to purify for himself his own special people, zealous for good works. That is the context of Matthew 25. So when we take a look at what the Lord Jesus was doing here in Matthew 25, and you read this in the context of Titus 2, then we understand the basis of his judgment. Was there justification? It's done. Redemption? Done. Can you see this? That is where salvation comes in, truly. But if salvation doesn't do anything to us in our life, we are living like the world, we live in sin happily, and we are not people who understand what it means to be redeemed from every lawless deed, look at all of these things which are there, then we will end up thinking that we are saved, where we're going to end up literally on Judgment Day being set aside on the left side goats section. The true sheep of God will exhibit all of these things. They have been purified. They are zealous for good works. And that is what we are looking at when we look at Matthew 25. It is not judgment, salvation because of good works. Far from it. But it is rather understanding of salvation, justification, redemption, reconciliation to God. And then we see our lives purified. And as our lives are purified, we become God's own special people. And God's own special people are those who are committed to doing good things, doing good works. And that is what the Lord Jesus was talking about. So this good works is not good works for salvation, but rather good works that prove that true salvation has taken place. True justification has been understood and applied. And so thus it is. So when the person looks at another person, so we look at a person who is hungry and we don't care. Or when we observe that it's thirsty and we despise the person. And a person is a stranger and we refuse to help in any way. And we see people who need a lot of things and they don't have anything. So what do we do? What do we conclude? Well, the Lord concludes along these lines. If these things are not inside the heart and life of the person, these deeds are not a part of the person's life, then the big question is the person actually even saved? That is a big question. So in the case of the goats, when we look at it very, very carefully, what that really means. In the case of the goats, it is very obvious what happened. Frankly, the Lord said, I was hungry, you gave me no food. You didn't care. I was thirsty, you gave me no drink. You didn't care. I was a stranger, you did not take me in. I was without clothes, you did not clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not even bother to visit. You were not even concerned in any way. Well, the Lord is not talking about doing good deeds once in a while. Once in a while, we remember doing good. He's not talking about that kind of thing at all. We're talking about a life. And so the Lord said, depart from me. Right? They are amongst those who are literally going to be judged. They're called cursed. What is happening? Right? We look. They are going to enter into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. So when we turn a blind eye and our hearts are so hardened, we do not care for people who are in need. We think only of ourselves and we are totally self-centered and self-focused. Well, then we have a problem. Well, what is that problem? The problem is one of whether there is genuine faith in the Lord Jesus. If there is genuine faith in the Lord Jesus, the life of the Lord Jesus will be inside us. And when we talk about the life of the Lord Jesus inside us, then we will end up with a heart and a spirit and a mind that will naturally care for people who are in need. That is the point of it all. This is being true followers of the Lord. So when we take a look at the sick, when we look at those who are sorrowful, when we look at those who are brokenhearted, and we look at how the Lord Jesus responded to all of them, and if we follow his lifestyle, we understand what it meant for him to be moved with compassion. Then we prove ourselves that we are truly the flock of God's pasture. We are his people. We are his children. And we need not fear judgment because we walk in his ways. And that is important for us to consider. So our challenge must be to check our own hearts, to check where we stand, who we are before God, and then to measure it against the things that we do in life. Does our faith cause us to do good deeds? Does our faith cause us to be concerned for others? Does our faith cause us to think about others and to really, really care for them? And if the answer is yes, then we would be among the sheep who will be on the right side of the Lord. And as we look at that, we are told that we will enter into his kingdom, we will have an inheritance, and we will be blessed by the Father. These are wonderful thoughts to seriously consider. May our hearts be challenged to consider, check again, what is the real state of our faith? Is there genuine faith or isn't there? Think about this. Well, let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the salvation that the Lord Jesus Christ has brought into our life. Help us to check whether that faith is for real. Help us to understand that faith and understand it well, that it must be a faith that will affect our heart, our attitude, our mindset, our spirit, to be able to care for other people, to be always zealous for good works. Help us to be ready for the day when you will say to us, well done. Help us to understand what it means to live for our Savior who gave his life for us. We give thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus.